Sometimes, out of the darkest and most traumatic moments in life, people find a strength that they never expected. And after surviving a horrific experience more than a decade ago, Ciara Mangan has channeled this pain with her resilience and her voice into something powerful, a support organisation called Beyond Surviving. It's a charity she founded to create a safe space for survivors of sexual violence and domestic abuse. Ciara has turned something deeply personal into a mission to help others heal, to advocate for change, and to ensure that no survivor ever feels alone. Thank you so much for joining us on the show this evening, Ciara. To begin with, talk me through what led you to founding Beyond Surviving.
So Beyond Surviving was founded on the back of me and through my journey as a survivor of rape. So after I had availed of the services over a 12-year period, actually, of the rape crisis centres and also external private counselling and the likes, I asked, I suppose, for a next step for me on my healing journey. So what's the next step after the rape crisis centres? What else is there for me on my healing journey, aside from counselling and talk therapy? And there was nothing. So I said, I was told, I suppose, to go and heal on your own. And, you know, this is where our journey ends. And if you want to come back to counselling, you can come back. And I do. I went back to counselling, but I needed something next. I needed a progressive step beyond my traumatic experience, beyond going back to process my trauma, because I had really felt that I had done a lot of that trauma processing work. So I researched online and I said, I remember typing in specifically, you know, what's the next step for me after the rape crisis centre? There was nothing. There was no next step. So I just got my big sheets of paper. I'm a big brainstorm kind of spider web kind of worker. And I said, what am I missing? What's the gaps? What's not there? And what wasn't there was connection with other survivors safely, and support for me to engage in my own advocacy, but primarily the social isolation that's really echoed in that post-crisis stage as well. We heal in community, we heal through one another, by shared experiences, by resonating with others, by feeling like you're not the only one, and also, you know, surviving sexual violence or domestic abuse is a lifelong process. So I was very adamant that service provision has to reflect that.
What does a safe space look like in the context of Beyond Surviving? I know that's something that you've spoken about and even, I suppose, touched on there, the importance of having a safe space for someone who is a survivor.
A non-judgmental safe space, a safe space where, you know, we have, you know, trained facilitators in our support groups, for example, where survivors come together, and non-judgmental, and where you don't have to explain your experiences, because there's that instant mutual understanding and resonance among others who, you know, you'll never go into a support group where you might be at a certain stage in your healing journey and someone will always say, I was there, or I had a similar journey. You know, this is how I navigated that. And it's just that bouncing back and forth where you can really, they call it narrative reconstruction. It's about building your identity again after surviving crimes like this. And we do that by learning from one another and healing together. So that's the safe space that we've created.
That community and that connection, it seems to be just at the heart of Beyond Surviving, which I've always admired since you started. I know that this is still fairly new, but it's something that resonates with so many. And that peer support, why is it so powerful for survivors of sexual violence and domestic abuse? Is it really just the shared experience that you have? You know, someone else has been through something similar or on the same vein of what you've been through?
Yeah, it's a pain that you just simply cannot describe to other people. And many people assume that we eventually get over it, or the it disappears, or, you know, it feels less than it did before, but it doesn't. This pain remains with you the pain doesn't really change, but you change, you grow around it, you grow stronger with support. So, you know, people do say, oh, you know, are you not over that by now? Or that was 10 years ago. But that's just not how it works. And often survivors feel like they're a broken record, harping on about the same thing that happened 10 years ago or even before. So survivors sometimes actually just stop talking about it to people because others may not understand that it still impacts us. No matter how much time has gone by, the impact remains. So that's why survivors are, you know, really finding the support groups beneficial, because they don't feel like that broken record with other people who still feel the impact as well.
You are so much more as well than a support organisation. You're a movement of voices in all of this, and you have meetups and things like that. What would a typical meetup look like when you all get together?
So it's facilitated support groups. So they're structured, but they're above anything else. They're just for survivors to share their experience, not going into the details of what they've experienced, because we don't want to, of course, re-traumatize both that survivor or other participants. But it's about, how is the trauma showing up in your life today? How are you feeling, you know, today? You know, was it hard to get out of bed even though you were assaulted like 20 years ago? It's how the trauma is showing up in your life today, still impacting you, how it's impacting your relationships and the challenges that we continue, because these challenges keep coming over and over again. We navigate these challenges after domestic and sexual violence in numerous ways throughout our recovery journeys. And it's just to be beside people who understand that life's not really that easy for you when you are recovering from these crimes.
I know that you've been such a strong public advocate for change as well. What are the biggest issues that you see in the current support systems or justice processes as well that actually do need urgent attention to help in any way possible?
The main thing that I do advocate for is just for survivor or victims and survivors to be considered as key parts of the justice process. We're not considered, we're not informed of key developments regarding the case that exists because we were victimized. We're not updated. We're not, you know, we're told about procedures after they've happened, whereas the perpetrator is informed of every single move that happens, because victims are not seen as they're witnesses to their crime. They're not really considered important informants of the case. It's the state versus the perpetrator. So it's just that trauma-informed and victim-centered approach where we're just considered, and the impact of these processes considers us in the process. It sounds like the real bare minimum, but quite frankly, that's a lot of the advocacy that's happening now.
It's, you know, I suppose for someone who has been a victim or a survivor, it's kind of having a role in it all that's more than being, you know, the witness. You know, like, we can look at it in a very judicial term, I suppose, and I can understand what you mean by that, and I do hope that there are changes made in that as in the years to come. But if there's someone who's listening to you this evening and wondering whether or not they're ready to reach out for support themselves, would you have advice for them?
So if you feel like you're at a stage in your healing and recovery journey where you're looking to meet other survivors, where you're not, you've kind of progressed beyond the stage where you feel somewhere within that you've to some extent accepted what has happened, you know, at the beginning of being assaulted, a lot of survivors would be questioning whether or not, even, you know, you would say, I'm not sure if it was rape, or I didn't say no, is that rape? You know, you have to be at that certain level of acceptance that this has happened. You've perhaps availed of the frontline crisis sector services and done your trauma processing and your counselling or psychotherapy. And now you're ready to explore other ways to nurture your healing journey through connection with other survivors, or even looking to engage in self-advocacy and empowerment and using your voice or your experience to make change. So yeah, that's kind of the services that we're offering. It's the next step after crisis intervention services.
And what is next for Beyond Surviving at the minute? Have you got any goals, plans, projects coming up into the new year?
Yeah, so we're going to roll out our survivor support groups across three Irish cities next year. We're hopefully ready with our advocacy strategy to kind of roll out that in cycles next year as well. What else are we doing? And then just, I suppose, building those partnerships with the frontline crisis intervention services so that we can really bridge that gap and continued care beyond the frontline services. So that survivors, when they are ready to move on beyond frontline rape crisis centres, for example, that they know that a next step exists beyond surviving.
I'm looking forward to seeing everything that is achieved next year. It's going to be so helpful to hopefully. So many people. If someone's listening this evening, where can they find you on socials if they want to follow along?
Website is beyondsurviving.ie, and then all our social handles are beyondsurviving.ie. So same. Yeah, I made it easy for everyone.
For sure. And Ciara, look, thanks so much for jumping on iRadio's group chat and chatting about this. The very best of luck with everything coming up for Beyond Surviving, and I'm sure we'll catch up to you again in the future.
Thanks so much.